Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members. Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Toscalito Tire and Automotive, your one-stop, on-the-spot auto service headquarters in San Francisco and the North Bay. Terzo, an authentic, upscale European restaurant in the Cal Hollow neighborhood in San Francisco. And Rose's Cafe, a favorite local hangout also in Cal Hollow. Now here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' 127-105 loss to the Rockets in Game 2, evening the series at 1-1 in the Western Conference Finals. But first, we want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your 2-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Ray, the Rockets are back in the series as they win 127-105 in Game 2 in Houston, and the Warriors just were clicking on all cylinders in Game 1. Game 2, the Rockets really seemed to come out determined. They had way more open three-point shooters, and it seemed like the Warriors were looking for answers offensively besides Kevin Durant. The normal guys that do a lot of scoring weren't doing it, and so maybe the Warriors are sort of looking for some answers. I mean, it kind of reminds you of during the regular season when they would have their lulls, and definitely this was one of them.
Well, this is a reminder that momentum does not always, in fact, seldom carries over to the next game unless you're the far superior team. And in this case, you've got two teams that are very close together. So the one thing you'd say about Game 1, significant for the Warriors, because, you know, the Rockets came in with a lot of hype around them and feeling pretty good and, you know, had an aura around them. And then the Warriors kicked away their home court advantage. And right now the Warriors have that, but, you know, you have to see what happens from game to game. And I'm reminded of what Draymond Green's mom, Mary Babers Green, tweeted out right before Game 2, "Trap game," in all caps. And I tended to agree with her. I knew the Game 2 was going to be closer. It was going to be a lot tougher for the Warriors. But the Rockets had come out with a sense of urgency, and that's exactly what they did. And the Warriors didn't quite match that. As good as Houston is, though, I think it still comes down to, for me, in every matchup involving the Warriors, how locked in, how focused are they? What kind of effort and concentration are they bringing to a game? Because when they are locked in, the opponent is usually toast. They were not locked in early on. They had a bunch of turnovers. I don't remember the exact number, forgive me, but it was like 7 or 8 in the first quarter, and that kind of set the tone. And the Rockets got out to a lead that they never relinquished. And, you know, they're a tough team to catch up to, especially when they're shooting as well as they do. And we know this about the Rockets, too. They're a very potent offensive team. They can have those nights like the Warriors can have where they're going off from three-point range. And nothing the Warriors could do could stop them. Durant was the show. The ball wasn't moving that well. The Rockets were cutting off Steph Curry in particular. They're using Capella well to show out on Curry and cut down his space. And the ball wasn't moving around, and Durant wasn't getting much help. Klay Thompson had an off night as well. So you put all that together, and you have the Rockets like, you know, the shot that I'm reminded of is Eric Gordon, the step-back three over Draymond Green in the fourth quarter. That I said, okay, that's it, 90 night. You know, that's just, it's their night from about 25 feet. So, you know, you got to respect your opponent. Houston won 65 games during the year, and they're going to be a handful. They should be. It's the Western Conference Finals. I thought the Warriors would win this in 6, so they just dropped one.
Yeah, I mean, and I agree with you about that Gordon shot. That was kind of my marker, too, was to say, oh, boy, I mean, this is really their night. And, I mean, he's hitting everything from 3, and so is Tucker. And it just didn't look like the Warriors could stop that. And they, I agree, the Warriors were not moving the ball the way that they should. Let's hear what Steve Kerr had to say. He summed up this loss pretty well.
I just think this game was a matter of the Rockets bringing the force that's necessary to win a game. And we didn't. You know, we had 7 turnovers, I think, in the first quarter. we set the tone early with our own play and allowed them to get some confidence and some easy buckets. And, you know, we let guys get going a little bit. But, you know, give them the credit. They came out and played a great game, and they got everybody going. And so they got, you know, we got what we deserved. So they kicked our butts, no other way to say it.
So, I mean, great teams still get their butts kicked every once in a while. We've seen it with the Warriors this year. And, yeah, the turnovers, I think the Warriors, we've talked about it all year, Ray. They're going to have their turnovers. But when they get really sloppy and when they don't move the ball, which you hate to see it. I mean, Kevin Durant can score at will at times, but you hate to see it where it's just him going one-on-one because you know that's not for the good of the team, at least in my opinion.
No, and we've seen in the postseason in a lot of these games, you get a 40-point score. That usually means that you're relying too much on them, and the ball isn't being spread around. You look at the Rockets, and, you know, James Harden had a pretty good game, but the ball was being distributed to a lot of different people. You know, Eric Gordon scoring 24 points, for example. Ariza had a nice game. So they're tougher to beat when they are moving the ball around like that and not just relying on one guy. And so I think this game was a useful reminder to the Warriors. You know, it's funny with them, isn't it? I mean, they'd had a convincing game one win. Everybody was, Charles Barkley was saying Warriors in three. And you know,
right.
you get all caught up in that. Every game is different. Each game has its own personality, and you got to bring it every game against these guys. They're tough. They're a good team. The Warriors should beat them if they're playing their game. I've said that from the get-go. I still believe that. And I think they're going to make the necessary adjustments in Game 3.
We'll have more Dubs OT right after this.
Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website at terzosf.com for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs.
For Steph Curry, I think there's going to be this question throughout the series as to whether or not he's 100% coming back from that knee injury. I mean, when he first came back, he was drilling some threes. It was pretty exciting, but he definitely has not been in his rhythm shooting the three. I mean, he only has one made three the last two games. I mean, the first two of this series, 1 for 8 from three. That's just not Steph Curry. And, you know, his drives to the basket have been really good. I mean, that's been very helpful. He can do that. He can definitely drive and score and figure out ways to get to the basket, but they need him to shoot better. What have you thought about just watching him? And we'll hear from him in a minute here, but what have you thought about, you know, whether or not he's at 100%?
Well, I'm asking fans what they think on Twitter. I'm putting out a poll right now, and I only put three choices. Maybe I should have put more, but the thoughts on Steph Curry were, one, he's far from 100%. I'm waiting to see the responses on that. The other response is he's just in a little slump. The other one is move the ball better. Maybe I should credit Houston's defense as a fourth factor. And maybe it's a combination of all those things. He says he's fine. We'll hear from him in a second. We don't really know what the situation is, but you look at him on the drives, and it seems like he's cutting, and he's moving pretty quickly, and that doesn't seem to be bothering him. It probably is to some degree, but it's reminiscent of 2 years ago. You know, how well can he fight through it? And there are times that, especially when he's trapped out on the perimeter, that he doesn't look like that guy. He can't seem to move to get open, but they're definitely focusing on taking the three away from him. I also think, you've got Clay and Steph defending a pretty tough backcourt in Chris Paul and James Harden, and they like to get physical. And they use that to their advantage. They get calls. They get to the free throw line. And so, you know, Steph being, relatively speaking, diminutive, he isn't, of course, but in basketball sense, he's one of the smaller guys on the floor, that may take a little out of his shooting legs on the other end. So he's got to drive to the basket to get the points that he needs. But, you know, with Steph, it's always been the case, right? He has been in slumps for a couple games in the playoffs before. It's troubling that it's in the Western Conference Finals. But all it takes is a couple of shots, and he goes, fireworks once again. I would not be surprised if you see that happen in Game 3 with an extra day of rest.
Yeah, my vote is that he's just in a little slump. So I'll do that on Twitter when I see your
all
poll
right
there. I'm going to vote that. But let's hear what the man himself had to say about how he's feeling physically, Steph Curry, after Game 2.
Feeling great. Tonight as a whole, didn't find a rhythm early. Had some decent looks from three that could have changed the momentum of the game early in the first half. But for the most part, it's just a frustrating night all the way around. They made some adjustments, got other guys involved, and they made plays. And that's kind of how a series like this is going to be. And game after game, it's going to be a chess match. And tonight, we just didn't make enough plays to stop the momentum in this building. And that was the difference in the game. You know, P.J. Tucker, Trevor Ariza, Eric Gordon, they stepped up tonight. So we got to be ready for that kind of aggressiveness from them in Game 3. Keep doing what we're doing.
You know, he sounds like he's in a good place mentally, Ray. And that's the thing that you always wonder about. I mean, these guys are amazing mentally. I mean, you can shoot 1 for 8 from three. If I were Steph Curry, I wouldn't be able to sleep. But I did see that story. I don't know if you saw the Ann Killian story in the San Francisco Chronicle talking about how he had a slump like this before where he didn't shoot well against Memphis. I think that was back in the first championship run. And he was in his hotel room just tearing himself up, just, you know, mentally just going, man, what's wrong with me? And Draymond Green calls him and says, come on, let's go down. Let's have some beers with the guys, have the barbecue there in Memphis is great. And it just gets his mind off of it. And then he comes back and plays great, of course. So, I mean, that's part of sports, professional sports. These guys are amazing at just shaking off a poor performance.
Yeah, I mean, that's the mentality of a shooter. Klay Thompson has that mentality as well. You got to let it roll off you like, you know, water off a duck's back. It's just part of the game. And you play long enough, you're going to have those slumps, the odds are. And hopefully you learn how to deal with them better. And I think that's part of what's happening with Steph right now. Like I say, you know, with a little rest, a little extra rest, I think he's going to be okay for Game 3. Over the long haul, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to try to be a Twitter doctor or a podcast doctor here. Only he knows, and only Chelsea Lane and the training staff and the doctors know for sure. There are signs you see that he's moving pretty well, but on the other hand, these are pretty taxing games, especially when you're having to go up against guys like Harden and Paul. So that may be part of the problem as well. I think what they need to do is, A, take better care of the basketball, number one, and Steve Kerr said in the soundbite, it was 7 first-half turnovers, or first-quarter turnovers, and B, move the ball a little bit better. It's okay to ISO with Kevin Durant. You have that advantage. They don't really have anybody who can stop him when Durant's on. You want to take advantage of that, but you want to make sure everybody else gets involved too.
Yeah, I mean, Durant's making some incredible shots. There's no doubt about that. But it seems like, you know, Klay Thompson is sort of left out when that happens, too. I mean, he's the guy who can come around screens, catch the ball, and shoot a quick three, and he's just not getting the opportunities. For him to only have 4 three-point attempts in Game 2, I mean, that says a lot. I mean, he's just not going to score that many points, and they need either one of the two, either Klay or Steph, to step up and do a lot of scoring, I think. And, you know, if one of those guys steps up, usually they're going to win the game. But if you have both of them kind of shut down, then it's really tough to win the game, even if Durant is scoring, you know, 35 to 40 points.
Right. You need one of the Splash Brothers, at least, to get going here. And the odds are they will. And I wouldn't be surprised if Klay has a much better game in Game 3. I think this is, you know, this is the little wake-up call the Warriors seem to need, too, from time to time. Isn't it funny about them? Remember the movie Flatliners?
Yeah.
they try to push the edge of the envelope all the way until they're actually flatlining, and then they bring them back, they reel it in. I think the Warriors tried to do that with certain games. It's almost like a mentality of, hey, we got this. You know we can come back. We talked about it a lot. I talked about it on the air before. It's a dangerous thing when you know you can come back from 15 down, that you have the firepower to do it. You have that at your disposal. And oftentimes it works out with better results than in the movie Flatliners. but it didn't in game two. And that's the danger here. I don't know if you call it cruising. They were definitely cruising toward the end of the regular season. Almost seems like they're doing that from time to time mentally in the playoffs. I think that that happened in a game in New Orleans, right? So, you know, it's just the way they pace themselves. And they know better than anybody else how to get through this. This is their fourth straight year where they may go to the finals. So I think you got to cut them a little slack on that, even if they don't bring the focus every single night. I think they're going to bring it when they need it. And Steve Kerr said it. They like to be challenged. They like to have some sort of adversity. Otherwise, I think they kind of get bored with it, even in the playoffs. I think they know they're better than Houston when they're playing well. And sometimes that's a trap you fall into. But I think now it's time to get out of that trap and take care of business at home.
It is amazing that they're, 25-4 in the playoffs the last 2 years? I mean, you know, every loss seems to be magnified, but they really haven't lost much in the last 2 years. But when you look at the stat sheet, Ray, it's interesting. I mean, if I looked at just three-pointers for Houston and just looked at Harden and Paul, Harden being 3-for-15 and Paul 1-for-5, I would have said, how the heck did they win that game? Those guys didn't shoot well from three. But when you have Tucker and Gordon shooting the way they did, and Harden still scoring 27 because of the way he gets to the basket, which is really amazing. I mean, he is just a hard driver. He always has been. I remember watching him at Arizona State, and I'm sure you did too. Just, it was always amazing to me how he could just get through defenders and force his way to the basket, and he's doing that in this series as well.
Well, first of all, he's a lot stronger than maybe people realize. I mean, he is pretty bulked up now.
Yeah.
And he can take the contact, and that gets rewarded in this league. He's not afraid of the contact, that is. There's no doubt about that. That's part of his game. And he does get to the line. He's also great at selling calls. He's great at acting. That's part of it, too. He gets rewarded for that. He's not going to stop doing that. You know, game one, right early off, he got the technical on Draymond with a little bit of an acting job, too. But he's a consummate offensive player. You know, defensively, he's there sometimes. Other times, he's disappearing. But he is just such a handful. And the key with him is, yeah, get him going, but he got his teammates going. And I was remiss in not mentioning P.J. Tucker. That was a bonus for the Rockets. When he's having a game like that, you're really in bad shape, because I've always liked him. I thought it was a significant pickup for the Rockets to get Tucker, to bring them a little more toughness, a little more defensive presence, along with Mbamute. And, you know, he's out, but Tucker is a guy who can hurt you if he's scoring. He doesn't worry about that, but when he's able to do it, it's, like I say, it's a bonus. And that's one of the reasons the Rockets won by 22.
Dubs OT continues after this from Toscalito Tire and Automotive.
You have to admit, collecting NBA titles is a new trend for the Warriors, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971. With quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at 6 Bay Area locations near you, Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family, and they offer a nationwide warranty backed by the strength of the Goodyear Tire and Service Network. And unlike watching close Warriors games, going to Toscalito equals a stress-free life. With four Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
What have you thought about the officiating so far? Because, you know, Reggie Miller was talking about how he just doesn't know what they're going to call anymore, especially when it comes to the flagrant fouls. And, you know, of course, Draymond Green is going to be involved in some of those calls there where it could go either way. You know, he's just so physical on the floor and he's just so intense. And I like it in the playoffs when they let it go a little more because, yeah, it's a more physical game. You're going to have to just officiate it that way. It seems like they've done a pretty good job so far. But there are times, Ray, where it seems like it could get a little out of control if they don't enforce, because I mean, these teams are really going to get after each other more and more as the series goes on.
Yeah. The later we get in the series, the more intense it's going to get. And I wonder if that's going to lead to, and of course, it depends on the officiating crew, if that leads to an emphasis, on blowing the whistle early and making sure things are aligned. They don't get out of hand early, because the emotions will be, you know, ginned up for game three, game four, game five. I think the officiating's been okay. There's always going to be missed calls, and, you know, they fall for the okey-doke. They also fall for the response instead of the instigator. The worst call I've seen in this round was when J.R. Smith pushed And you'll have to forgive me, the Boston player who went up under the bucket got pushed out of bounds. Might have been Horford.
Yeah,
and
I think you're right. They called it a
flagrant one on that. My God, what are you talking about? I mean, he could have been hurt on that play.
Oh,
it was
a
dirty
dangerous
play. Mm-hmm. It was the capper of a lousy game for J.R. Smith, so he decided, I guess, to take out his frustrations. And they called it a flagrant one. Those are the ones that can really hurt if you don't, you know, lay down the law. I thought it was a flagrant too. That's the worst I've seen. But, you know, the funny part is, on Twitter, Warrior fans were bemoaning seeing Tony Brothers and Scott Foster in the crew for game one. I thought it was a pretty fairly officiated game. So,
yeah,
you know, that's the way it goes. And the one thing about Foster is, you know, if you're a road team, you don't feel like you're at much of a disadvantage. He doesn't care about that stuff. I've had my issues with him in the past, but I think that's one area where he doesn't let the home crowd get to him. So be interesting to see the crew for game three. I haven't checked it yet. That's always something you have to look at. But I think, you know, as the series goes on, the emphasis is going to be on, you know, maybe a little calling a tighter game early on to keep the emotions in check.
I still wish I could watch a game, Ray, and this is not just about the Warriors. This is just every team in the NBA. I wish I could watch a game where nobody's complaining to the officials. I mean, you know, maybe a couple times a game, but every call, every time a guy gets fouled, it's like the end of the world. Like, you know, he didn't do this, or, you know, he fouled me, and, you know, whatever it is, whether it's somebody saying that, you know, I got fouled or I didn't foul him, either way, it's just too much. I just wish these guys would just play basketball, you know?
Yeah, the classic pose is like the hands up and what? What?
Right.
How could you? How could you? You know, it's all part of the drama. And I think referees are going to cut them a little more slack now, like I said, with the emotions getting so high when you get to the conference finals and into the finals. They just kind of let that roll off their backs, maybe roll their eyes a little bit privately. But, you know, as long as you're not abusive in your language and things like that, I think they're going to let the players go with the reaction at this point, because it really is part of the theater. But it's kind of, I laugh sometimes at some of these guys when they've obviously put an elbow in somebody's neck and they're like, what did I do? You know, it's just, I said, okay, now you've crossed the line. But they've been complaining for a long time. We talked to Mike Breen about that earlier in the year. They've had to have a summit about this with the officials and try to, you know, rein things back in, reel it in a little bit. I don't know if that happened during the regular season, but I think you're going to see a lot more emotion now.
We'll continue to talk about the Western Conference Finals, Warriors and Rockets, right after this.
In the late 90s, San Francisco celebrated the opening of Rose's Cafe at 2298 Union Street. Now, 20 years later, Rose's continues to provide a warm, friendly atmosphere, and you can still count on great food. Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Rose's bakes all of their own pastries and breads. Open 7 days a week, they serve breakfast, lunch, dinner, and brunch on Saturday and Sunday. Check out their menu and hours online at rosescafesf.com. The next time you're driving to or from AT&T Park, stop by Rose's Cafe in Cow Hollow at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
What about the benches? I have heard some analysts say that the Rockets bench is better than the Warriors. And, you know, that argument could be made, especially after the way Gordon went off coming off the bench and the Warriors didn't get much production. But what would you like to see from some of the bench players? Of course, Looney is getting a lot of playing time like he has in the postseason. And he, you know, he does a pretty good job defensively. Nick Young hasn't been able to really find it. I mean, he had a couple of threes there, but he's a guy that, you know, if he could come off the bench and give you some punch off the bench scoring, you know, that would be helpful. What would you like to see?
Yeah, Nick Young is inconsistent. He's had some good games against the Rockets. It'd be very helpful if he could have a game one type performance in game three. They do need a little more help off the bench. I wonder if they start Looney. Maybe that's the way to go, because their defensive rating with him on the floor in game one was very good. I think it was 95.7 mm-hmm. per 100 possessions. So that's very good. Even though, you know, he gets caught in ISO with Harden, I think they'd rather attack it that way. than a lot of other ways. And you know, that way the ball stalls a little bit, and that works to the Warriors' advantage. But I think beyond that, yeah, they need a little more help off the bench, a little more from Livingston. I don't know if this is going to be a David West kind of series. It doesn't seem to be happening for him. Beyond that, it comes down to their best five players. It really does. Whether you start Iguodala or you have him coming off the bench, the Hamptons five got drilled in game two, and you don't see that too often. But those are the guys who have to make it happen. So if they're on, the Warriors are on.
Game five is going to be interesting. I'm already thinking ahead to that because, you know, think about game three and game four at Oracle. The Warriors win both. Well, game five's desperation at Houston.
Yeah.
If the Warriors split, which is entirely possible, then it's like the critical game. So I keep thinking about that game. But game three, Sunday at Oracle at 5 o'clock, I mean, that place is going to be rocking. And it's going to be so important for both teams to try to, you know, grab the momentum here. It looks like the Rockets have it right now. But if the Warriors win, then you just kind of forget about game two, I think.
Yeah, you have to. And just like the Rockets forgot about game one, as we said at the top of the podcast, this stuff doesn't always carry over, especially when you have a space between games and you change cities. And now the Warriors are going to have their home crowd, and it should be a lot of fun. I'm going to be out there for game four. So I've been thinking to myself, is it going to be Warriors up 2-1 or down 2-1? It's going to be a critical game. I mean, they're all critical, but that may be the pivotal one. So, the psychology of the series always fascinates me. And I think back to when I was doing post-game shows for the Giants, and they fell behind 2-0 to the Reds in 2012, mm-hmm. right? And it looked like they were toast. Everybody was writing their postmortems. The fans on the post-game show after game two were, you can imagine. There was a lot of jumping off of window ledges. And I just reminded them, hey, you know, Johnny Cueto got hurt, and now with the Giants, but Johnny Cueto got hurt in game two, right? And that turned out to be critical. And Buster Posey hit a grand slam in game five. But the point being, okay, you're down 2-0, but you want to go win the next game anyway. That's the way you have to look at it. You can't look at the bigger psychology of whether it's 3-1, 3-0, whether any team has ever come back in history. The game that's in front of you, that's the one. Now, if you're down 3-0 and you fall behind big, like in the second quarter, a lot of teams pack it in. We've seen that before. But I think for this series, for these guys, it's got to be hyper-focused on what you're doing now because your opponent is too good. You can't let your mind stray.
I'm ready for some close games. I mean, these games have not ended in a close way. I'm ready for a buzzer beater or something like that.
Yeah, I'm ready for a game where, James Harden has the ball in the final seconds and doesn't get a shot off. Where's that happened before? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
but a dramatic ending like that, yeah. I think it's got to be coming because these teams are that close.
Absolutely. All right, well, we'll talk about it again next week, Ray. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks, Joe.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.